Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. We don't have a movie today, so thank you everyone. Good night.
No,
I'm kidding. Actually, we wanted to do something a little different. We want to talk about the horror convention we actually just went to called Silver Scream Con. So we wanted to do a little recap of it, tell you all what we did, the ridiculous stuff we got into, the awesome panels and all that good stuff. But we'll do it the same exact way. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Silver Scream Con?
I think you should start first because you were there before me.
You're right.
So Steve,
I was.
Tell us what you thought of day one of Silver Scream Con when I was not there.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, we'll go a little backwards this time. Fuck it. So, yeah, Corey mistakenly thought that the press passes that we somehow got didn't apply to Friday, only Saturday and Sunday. So I couldn't get the press pass at first. So what I had is I had like your general weekend pass. And so I went on Friday. I had a mission. I'm like, I want to meet Skeet Ulrich. I want to get his autograph, get a photo with him. It's going to be fucking sick. So got in line. And this line must have been like 200 plus people deep. Easy. So just waiting, I think maybe an hour, hour and a half until I got to like the very front where I was ready to meet him. And all of a sudden, they just fucking cut me off. Right. And like one person in front of me cut us off. Oh, Skeet Ulrich has to do a panel now. He'll be back in over an hour. I'm like, what the fuck? So, and the thing is, I wanted to go to that panel because, you know, he was talking about all sorts of Scream shit and like talking about his career in Hollywood and, you know, a lot of things like that, like his time on Riverdale, all that shit. So I decided I'm just going to get out of line because I don't want to have to wait another hour plus in one single spot just for someone to return. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to that panel. I'll come back and I'll just get in line again, whatever it is, what it is. So go and check out the panel. He's talking all about his career in Hollywood. He's talking about how he was a single father and it's the reason why he kind of didn't become a bigger actor going into bigger movies, shit like that, because he wanted to focus a lot of his time on his daughters and stay as close to them as possible. So he kind of sacrificed his the majority of his movie career to be with his family, which is commendable.
What a pussy.
Bitch. What a bitch.
What a bitch.
So his panel, you said he talked about Riverdale. I actually like Riverdale a lot until like the last couple seasons where I never finished it, but did he talk a lot about it?
No, he talked a little about it. I think most people were interested in hearing about Skeet Ulrich himself and hearing about, you know, the Scream franchise. So a lot of people were asking about that. There was someone that brought up a weird ass random role that he was in. And he's like, he borderline forgot he was in it.
Oh, shit.
He's like, what?
But what was it?
I couldn't remember because it was so fucking random. It was like, I think he was a kid or something. Actually, I think he beat out someone for the role. I don't know if it was like Johnny Depp or Brad Pitt. Actually, I think it might've been Brad Pitt. He beat out for the role. And I think, what was the movie called? Boys? Does that sound right?
I don't know. I'm on his IMDb right now. He was an extra in Weekend at Bernie's. We didn't meet, what's his face? Terry Kaiser, but we saw him.
Yeah, we saw him. I didn't meet him because he didn't have his mustache.
Boys, you're right.
Yeah, okay. All right. So he was in Boys and the girl that asked him the question, I don't remember what the question was, but asked him something about it. And he was talking about how he got the role. He read for it, didn't get it at first. And then apparently, I think it was Brad Pitt passed on it. It was either Brad Pitt or Leonardo DiCaprio, something like that. So they called him up and he got the role. So not bad. I've never seen it.
So Boys actually has Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
It's pretty stacked cast. John C. Reilly.
Oh, yeah. He was talking about him. And he was talking about this story where he was at a club and, like, all hell broke loose. A giant fight broke out. Some people came in with, like, guns and stuff. And him and John C. Reilly were in an elevator just trying to get the fuck out of there. And that's the last he saw of John C. Reilly for a very long time. But then he bumped into him again one day. And the first thing John C. Reilly said to him, he's like, remember that night where there, like, this massive brawl broke out?
So I just read a review on it.
Yeah.
Worst film I've ever seen.
Woo! That's rough. I don't know about that. I've seen some pretty bad ones.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well,
I accidentally saw Magic Mike Last Dance by accident on the airplane.
Accidentally, huh? So somebody held you down and made you watch it?
Basically, I had nothing to listen to, nothing to watch, and the Wi-Fi was down. So all that was in front of me was some lady watching this, and probably the worst premise of a movie I've ever heard in my life. It's so dumb. It's super fish out of water, man who's going to stand his ground and do his dance thing. And then some lady's life gets ruined over it. And it's like, I don't care. I used to be rich, but I'm fine now because I'm in love. That type of thing.
Okay.
That's the premise of Magic Mike Last Dance. So,
So, Steve, tell us how you feel about Catherine Corcoran.
I have such a crush on her now. I saw her in person. I'm like, oh my God. She's such a babe. She's so gorgeous.
You have no shot.
Yeah, I have a slim chance. I think the only chance I have is if this podcast gets big, then I could be like, hi.
We met at Silver Screen Con in 2023. Remember me?
Nope. I was too afraid to meet her. I'm like, she's too good looking for me. But back to day one, by the way. No Tom Savini. That sucked because I was adamant on bringing my Jason COVID mask there and having him sign it, but he just backed out last second,
It sucks too, because I guess he's got a reputation of doing that.
Why even agree then? Like, why not just be like, not my thing. I don't like to do the conventions.
He was at Rock and Shock 1 year when I was there.
Oh, he actually showed up.
Yeah, he showed up for payday then.
No shit. Wow. Well, Rock and Shock was bigger, right?
Oh, yeah. Plus, they had it's very similar. They have a convention and a con.
Yeah. And I thought that's basically, it's kind of like your Rock and Shock, except your concert is Ice Nine Kills, whereas Rock and Shock is like 2 days of concerts, one of them being primarily Juggalo heavy.
Yeah. They usually go home early.
Don't blame you. I'm all set with Insane Clown Posse. I'm not down with the clown.
No.
No. I hear that the Gathering of the Juggalos is fun, though.
I'll take your word for it.
I've never been. I know there is an episode of Workaholics where they were at the Gathering of the Juggalos.
You're right.
Yep. That show's great, by the way. I haven't watched it in a while, but
they're supposed to do a movie, but it got canceled.
Not surprised. They had that movie, though, where they were like all together and they were working as busboys or something in a hotel and it got taken hostage. It was like kind of like Die Hard.
Yes. Yeah, it was on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it was a Netflix original. It was not bad. It was funny. You know, it had its moments.
Mm-hmm.
But they should have called it like Workaholics.
Game Over Man.
Yeah, Game Over Man. That's it. But I thought it was okay. While I wasn't falling in love with Catherine Cochran, this festival needs some work. I know it's the second festival or second con, needs some work. The reason being is that literally anyone can just walk in and just walk around. No big deal. No tickets were checked whatsoever.
I think the last day is the first time I saw someone sitting at the, they had staff. Remember those people came up to us after breakfast and asked us if we were waiting to meet Spencer. And they're like, oh yeah, you'd be this such and such a line. And you made a comment. You were like, oh, they didn't do that the other day. And she goes, oh, well, we just thought of it today.
Of course, the last day where it's not as busy. Here's what happened, and here's why that would have been a great idea on Friday. So remember how I was saying I was in line for like an hour and a half to meet Skeet Ulrich, and then he decides, you know, time to go to the panel. He'll be back in over an hour. I decided to step out of line because I'm not waiting, and I wanted to go check out that panel. And when I got back, I saw that the line was significantly smaller. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll just get back in line. It's whatever. Okay. So I get back in line. And then one of those security or just people working the event. I don't know. Volunteers, maybe? Who knows?
Yeah, probably volunteers. Yeah,
probably volunteers. They get free tickets in and they go to the concert. Who knows? So he comes up to me and he's like, were you here? I'm like, I was here earlier waiting and I just got back in line. He's like, well, you're going to have to go to the back of the line. I'm like, what the hell for? And he's like, well, I can't have you cutting people. I'm like, who did I cut? I don't think I cut anyone. And he's like, he talks to the girls in front of me. He's like, was this kid in line? And they're like, yeah, he was in line. And this guy just immediately is like, dude, I'm so sorry. He's like, I just didn't realize. And he's like, please forgive me. I'm like, okay, it's fine. Just don't make me go to the fucking back of the line, dude.
I would have gone up there and been like, dude, you tell Skeet not to charge me for this because you're fucked up.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I think I waited like a half hour. It wasn't too bad from where I was. So I waited like a half hour again to meet Skeet Ulrich. And finally the time comes, get my autograph and get my photo with Skeet Ulrich. I was wearing my 30 Screams of Less hat because I had to do some shameless promotion. And he's like, dude, what is that? And I'm like, oh, this is 30 Screams of Less, my podcast. And he's like, oh, that's fucking awesome. I'm like, sweet. So we're best friends now. He's going to be on the podcast later.
Oh, shit. Damn, what a surprise.
Yeah, I know. Now, who knows? Maybe I can hit up his press and be like, hey, yo, we can do the 3-minute thing if you want.
That's kind of cool that he asked what it was.
Yeah, and you know, he was so damn cool. You would think that when you're meeting someone of that stature, because he's obviously very famous, a lot of people know him as the OG Ghostface, that and Matthew Lillard. So meeting him was a kind of a big deal. I was a little bit starstruck, honestly. Usually I'm perfectly fine when it comes to like meeting famous people or whatever. But this time I was like, hey.
Yeah, I would have froze up too. I really wanted to the second day or third stand in line to meet him, but I had enough lines at that point.
I don't blame you. It was quite the long line, but he was so damn cool. Gave me a big hug at the end. I'm like, dude, you don't have to do this. This is awesome. So yeah, we're best friends now.
Glad to hear it. I can't wait to talk to him later on the podcast.
And then he'll be like, who?
I don't remember that.
I don't know. I hugged all sorts of people that day. No, but he literally took time to talk to every single person and give them a big hug at the end. That's a class act right there.
He seems like a good guy.
Yeah. 5 out of 5 experience meeting Skeet Ulrich. That's what I got to say about that.
Yeah. Cool.
So yeah, that like for me, it was just me forever alone at this con. Actually, I bumped into Patty and her friend and talked to them a little bit. But ultimately, I was just kind of walking around a little bit. The majority of that was spent in line and checking out that one panel. Day 2 is when everything kind of starting to kick off. And that's when Corey finally came into the mix. So, Corey, tell me about day 2.
Well, I mean, we met at the hotel, which we ended up getting. It was unfortunately a half hour away from the convention, but we met at the hotel, checked in. Put our 30 Screams or Less gear on and headed to the convention. It was pretty cool because we walked up to the registration booth to get at the time where we thought we had one press pass. And we ended up meeting like the head of social media or something.
Yeah.
And he like asked us who we were and we told him. And he goes, oh, I've heard of you guys. You guys are newer, right? And I was like, yeah, we start in December. And he was like, how many passes do you need? And I was like, 2. And he goes, all right, give him 2. And he gave Steve a pass. So Steve ended up with a press pass too. Because of this guy, David, that we met, who was fucking awesome, who knew who we were. It was crazy.
It is crazy. He was an awesome dude. And, you know, I didn't need the press pass. I just wanted it for clout. I just wanted to walk around and be like, yeah.
Art yeah. I mean, it really doesn't get you anything other than clout and free entry.
Yeah, exactly. I figured, hey, we worked hard enough on 30 Screams or Less. We should both get a pass.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were really cool. And they hooked Steve up with one. So.
Yeah,
and we got our passes, and the very first thing we did was run to the convention hall or the panel room because the Silent Night, Deadly Night panel was about to begin, and they had Robert Brian Wilson, which was OG Santa Claus, and Eric Freeman, which was Santa Claus from the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat in on this panel, and it was fucking awesome because I'm a huge fan of the original. Second one's okay. Garbage day. I wish I brought my vinyl just so I could have Robert sign it. It is what it is. I didn't want to carry it around all day. But yeah, we sat in on that panel. Every panel was about an hour long. So we sat in on that one, and then we didn't move from our seats when they ended because then they did the Who's Laughing Now panel, mm-hmm. which was Jenna Connell, Catherine Corcoran, and Leah Voisey from Terrifier 1 and 2. And that was one I was really excited about and was not let down. What did you think of that one?
I thought it was great. However, they didn't talk enough about Terrifier.
They didn't. And I feel like the host kind of neglected Leah a lot. He would let Jenna and Catherine talk and then just go to a different question and wouldn't let Leah answer.
I noticed that like two of them had the blunt of the talking, whereas Leah was kind of just hanging around waiting. It seemed like she was just like, will someone talk to me so I don't have to just sing the Clown Cafe song?
Which somebody asked her to do, and she was so awesome and did it in front of everyone. She sang Clown Cafe. I love that.
She was great. Yeah, I loved it too. She's got such a great voice. So hearing her do that in person, I just thought it was so cool. Because, I mean, you love it in the movie. It's great. You don't expect it to be that awesome, like, in person too. Is it a cappella? Like, where it's just a person singing? Yeah, a cappella. I thought that was really cool. But she's like, you're all going to, like, do this with me, right? And everyone's like, yeah. And it was just her. No one did. Everyone just bitched out. No one, like, clapped their hands. No one sang. I'm like, I don't want to be the only asshole that's fucking doing it. I feel like that'd be weird. But who knows? Maybe if I did, then probably would have gotten everyone else to.
Yeah, there had to be, one, like, at least one person that started it. And then maybe everyone else would have joined, but no one did it.
Nope. They just all watched her and didn't even clap. No clapping on time, nothing. It was like, wow, poor Leah. But she was great. It was awesome hearing that. So
yeah, I love that. And then, like, after this is when we went and started, like, just walking around the show, meeting people. The first person we went and met was Alex Vincent, who I don't even know. He seemed nice enough, but he was didn't know where he was.
Nope. Not at all. He was on another planet. He was that dude smokes a ton of weed. A ton. And then later on in the evening, we saw him drinking and he almost ate shit just walking. I'm like, oh my God. Wow. So for those of you who don't know, Alex Vincent is the kid that was in Child's Play 1 and 2. And then in the later movies where he plays Andy, still just an older version.
Dude, he's basically been in every single one of them, including the show that's on right now.
Yeah, he's in the show. Yeah, he couldn't talk much about that, too, because of the strike.
No, I tried talking to him about it, and he was like, you never know. Like, that's what everyone, even during the panels, people would ask, like, who did they ask? They asked somebody in the Terrifier panel about Terrifier 3. The moderator cut the person off, and they were like, just so you guys know, they really can't answer anything about, like, future projects because of the strike.
Yeah.
And yeah. Alex did the same thing when I brought up season 3 of Chucky, which comes out next month.
And you know what? So underwhelming meeting him. You had, like, those sick shoes on.
They were custom Nike Dunks that I had made. And I was like, dude, I was showing him. I'm like, oh, yeah, check out these shoes I wore. And he's like, oh, yeah, those are cool. I have a pair just like that.
Cool. Thanks, bro.
But
yeah, he's trying to show you something awesome. And
he was charging
work.
He was charging the most for pictures and autographs.
Yeah, a little bit much. So Alex Vincent, 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5 dead kids.
3 out of 5 dead kids.
I wish Chucky did get his body.
I know.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm still a huge fan. He was my fanboy moment, similar to you with Skeet. But Andy or Alex had no idea where he was, so it was kind of easier for me.
Yeah, because he didn't have to, like, interact with you too much. He's just like, oh yeah, I'll take a photo. Okay. And yeah. then I had my next fanboy moment, which was meeting CJ Graham.
Oh my God, dude. Yes, that one also was my second. Actually, you know what? That was my highlight, was the person I met was CJ Graham.
He was so cool. He was so cool. Damn cool.
He fucking yelled at me. It was cool. Yeah. Not even that about it.
I mean, when you're walking over and he yells at you and says, put your pants back on. Like,
so a little context for listeners here.
No context. Just leave it as that.
That's right. That's all you get. Let's move on to the next part.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Elaborate.
So CJ Graham played Jason Voorhees in part 6. And I have Jason, his hockey mask tattooed on my kneecap. And we use that Jason as sort of the inspiration. So, like, when he's at the bottom of the lake and he's got the chain around his neck. Anyways, I went to show CJ Graham, like, I lifted the pant, like, up on my shorts, and he's like, put your fucking pants back on. And then he's just like, I'm just kidding, man. He goes, does that hurt? I'm like, yeah, dude, it fucking sucked. It's my knee. And he was on it for 8 hours. And I don't remember what he said, but he was just like, you know, more power to you, man.
Yeah, that guy was hysterical, by the way.
He was, and he was so cool. Like, he just had a conversation. Like, we talked about the movies with him. Mm-hmm. And even when we saw them later on in the, which I think we get to later. Oh yeah, because it happened in day 3. The panel. We did a panel with him and Tom Morga on day 3. Just, I could listen to CJ Graham talk for hours.
Yeah, he was hysterical. I mean, we'll talk about the whole panel thing, but just, like, he's a guy I feel like I would love to have a glass of whiskey with.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just go out and be like, CJ, let's go out tonight. We'll get some fucking whiskey and we'll smoke some cigars or something. And he'd probably be like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, he wouldn't. He probably wouldn't even question it.
Nope. He would just fucking do it. And that's how cool he was. And I, when I took a photo with him, he manhandled me again because he he manhandled me as Spooky Empire when I took a photo of him and I in his old Jason getup. And like it was in costume, and he manhandled me then. And this time I just wanted a photo with him alone without the whole getup. And he still manhandled me. He just pulled me close. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy is so fucking big. He can easily just break me in half right now.
So I've met three Jasons in my lifetime. And Kane Hodder, have you met Kane?
Not yet.
You haven't met anyone that fucking manhandles you yet. But I will say Kane Hodder and then CJ Graham. And then Derek Mears. Mears is actually doesn't manhandle you. Kane Hodder actually fucking chokes you. I never forget it. When I met him 1 year at Rock and Shock, he just looks at me and he goes, I'm actually going to squeeze. When he puts his hand around your throat for all the photos. And he goes, I'm actually going to squeeze you. And he did. And I legit couldn't fucking breathe.
I saw that photo. You're just like, you look like petrified, but it's like, it's awesome at the same time. You can't just, you can't smile when someone's strangling you to death.
Yeah, especially when it's a man who played Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, so it was awesome meeting CJ Graham. I would definitely meet him again, 5 out of 5.
Actually, you know what? I forgot. Tom Morga was there. We didn't really meet him, but we saw him. He also played Jason. Wait, he played Jason, Leatherface, and Michael Myers, and he's the only person to ever play the three slashers.
Yeah, that should be a Guinness World Record right there.
Yeah.
But I think it's not really recognized, though, because in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, he was more of a stunt double for Leatherface. But he technically played Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 because he was the one on the back of the truck fucking riding and being the maniac as it's moving, you know? And I guess when they slammed the brakes in the truck, he went flying forward. And that's the shot that they have in the movie. So
yep.
I thought that was pretty cool. Also, very nuts. CJ was also talking. I love this. He was talking about the stunt of being underwater. That was crazy. You know, with the chain, like the chain around the neck, and he's like, you can't see shit, and it's like a full blown chain on you. And
yeah, I love that because there was someone in the crowd that asked him what his like what has he done where he was very close to death, and he brought that up about being chained to the bottom of an Olympic-sized pool with cinder blocks tied to his feet and a fucking real chain around his neck.
Insane. That is such a fucking dangerous stunt. If you think about it, there's so much room for error.
Yeah, and he said, he was in the dark, and all he could hear was clicking of the cameras while he's underwater.
Yeah, so all he's doing is like, you know, just kind of standing there and, you know, fighting a little bit. But, you know, as Jason, you're not supposed to be like, oh, fuck, you know, you're scared or anything like that. So he's just, you see him struggling like you do in the movie. And that takes a lot of talent to not be freaking out. I feel like I would be losing my shit underwater. If I'm chained like that, I would be like, I wouldn't know how to fucking breathe properly.
Yeah. You can't, just knowing you can't go up even if you wanted to.
That's, I think, where I would start to feel a little claustrophobic, and it really would be messing with me.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, so, yep, met CJ Graham. He was fantastic. What did we do at this point? I think you and I went and got some fucking food and just got, like, I don't know, spent, what, $150 worth of appetizers?
Yeah, and we only got 3 appetizers. So after that, we met up with Patty and her friend Chase at the bar there. Pretty much just hung out there for a while. And then all the stars started coming in because the convention closed.
I'm like, oh, shit, everyone's here. So it's like Tony Todd's eating dinner like in the corner. You got like all the girls from Terrifier there at their own table. I'm checking out Courtney. No big deal. And then you have Alex Vincent walking by, almost tripping. Who else we had? We had
William Forsythe sat down next to us.
Yep, he just fucking
having fucking Corona.
Yep, and it was crazy. I'm just looking at all these people like, I've seen y'all, all of your movies, all of you. Like, this is crazy.
It was nuts. Just be sitting next to people of that caliber.
Yeah, I was like a little starstruck, but at the same time, I'm just like so overwhelmed with what is going on right in front of me at this bar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what is happening right now? We're in the middle of freaking everything.
Yeah. So then, like, we went to leave and go back to our hotel for the night. And then Patty and her friend were like, dude, Skeet Ulrich is sitting at the bar right now. So we're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So we run in and he's gone.
Of course he is. And we're just like, womp, womp.
Yeah. So then we wrapped it up and we went back to the hotel, edited last week's podcast in the hotel, and that got some shut eye, and then I went back for day three.
Yeah, day three. Day three, we were kind of bitches on that day. We were a little lazy, a little tired, but we did have two things that we wanted to at least do. We wanted to do the panel with CJ Graham and Tom Morga, the Friday the 13th panel. Well, you wanted to hear them talk about that shit. And then we also wanted to see the panel for Tony Todd. And yeah, and also, like, as that's all done, maybe do a quick lap or something like that, just to kind of get it all done, you know? So, yeah, we get there. Did we get there? Like, we got there, like, a little early just so we made it in time for that panel, for the Friday the 13th panel.
Well, as soon as we got to the, because we're trying to find breakfast, and I was like, dude, the closest thing to us is McDonald's, so let's just go see if anything's at the hotel.
Yeah.
And then we got to the hotel where the convention was being held, and they had a breakfast buffet, mm-hmm. and we were so fucking happy we found this. So we sit down and, like, have a nice breakfast, and yeah, as Steve said, we hauled ass to the Jason Lives and New Beginning panel.
Yeah, but what we didn't mention, though, is the ghost of Jose Mangan.
Why is he everywhere? I swear to God, he's fucking haunting us the whole time we were there.
The whole time. Everywhere we went, he was there. I'm just like, dude, is this fucking guy following me? Or are we just somehow coincidentally ending up in every single room that he's in?
Like, he's at the table next to us when we're eating breakfast. He's in the hallway when we're outside, like, saying goodbye. When we left, he was staying there. Like, everywhere we went, he was just there.
Yeah, he was just there. I'm like, all right, this is weird. Everywhere. It was very odd. Also, I thought he was going to be shorter. He's pretty tall. He's taller than I am somehow.
Yeah, he's a tall man.
Yeah, I could have swore this guy was 5'1". Just by every photo that he's in, he's always bent over and doing, like, the devil horns. I'm thinking this is going to be a short-ass guy.
I hate that guy so much.
What is all the tap-out gear he wears?
I didn't even notice that. I don't know. He just annoys me.
It just looks like it is. You know, it's got, like, the foil and stuff like that. Like, the gear that people wear, like, the townies. And they go to their bar and they're, like, all dressed up with skinny jeans and trying to look real cool, real tough guys. So, I don't know. They're, like, those kind of people you see at fucking local town bars. And they're always the ones that cause all sorts of trouble because you just so happen to look over their girl. And you're just like, I was just, like, looking at the room and seeing what's going on.
I forgot to mention, the first thing we did after breakfast was we went over and we met Leah Boise and Jenna Cannell, and your girlfriend wasn't there yet.
No.
But we were talking to Jenna Cannell for 5 or 10 minutes about Deadstream.
Yeah. I was like, no fucking way. Because
you had a shirt on.
I did. I had a rare Deadstream shirt. I don't think a lot of people have that merch, you know? So to get it and for me to just be walking around and people go, holy shit, what the fuck is that? You know, especially Jenna Cannell, who was the lead in Terrifier. And also she was in Terrifier too, but had kind of like a small portion at the very end where she gave birth to Art's head. That was her.
And Renfield, which I didn't know until then. That show.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that either. She was actually one of the people in the Abusive Relationship Anonymous group.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, so I had no idea. It just didn't even dawn on me.
So, like, we're talking to her for a while, and we end up getting our photos with her, and then we went and fucking Leah had a line. Luckily, the line moved quick. Then we got to meet her, and then we go to take a photo with her, and we got photobombed.
Yeah, some random drunk girl just got in the way of this photo. Was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and got it on photo. I think it's on her Instagram, too. You can see it.
Yeah, that's legitimately what happened. We're not exaggerating at all. She came in just right in the middle of everyone and just throwing her arms out like, oh, my God. And then she's like, and I think she was excited to meet Leah Boise, too. So I thought that was funny. But then, you know, we got our photo and all that. And we all had a good laugh out of it.
Yeah. And then we went and this was actually before the CJ Graham and Tom Morga panel, but we went to the panel after this and then we piggybacked the Tony Todd panel, which, oh my God, Tony Todd is a goddamn gem, dude.
Dude, I could listen to him talk all day because of that, just that deep, soothing voice. I actually watched Candyman last night because I was like, I got to watch this again. And his voice is just so monstrous. It's so unique. And hearing him talk about his life and how he started off in theater and how the director of Candyman was like, I want to have him as Candyman, and he really put himself on the line to get Tony Todd. And of course, we all know Tony Todd fucking killed it in that movie.
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't really talk about the Bee stuff, because I think it's like well known that the stuff he did with Bee in his mouth in the movie, those were real bees.
Wild. I watched it last night and I saw like the Bee part. I mean, I saw it before, but it just kind of, now I have like a different perspective on it. I can watch that and go, holy shit, those are a shit ton of bees like in his mouth and all over the actress he's with. It's just crazy. Now, supposedly those bees don't really bite, but the fact of the matter is he had a bunch of fucking insects in his mouth flying around and he's making out with this girl with them. That's insane.
It is, but like I remember watching or listening to an interview with him a few years ago about that stuff, and I guess his agent had worked something out with a movie production company that he would get a certain amount of money for every time he got stung. That's the only way he would agree to do fucking real bees.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, right into the contract. I don't, obviously money numbers weren't disclosed, but like, yeah, that was part of it.
That's a great part. I mean, what is it, probably $1,000 every sting?
Probably.
Sounds fair.
Yeah, why not, man?
Yeah, fuck it. Whatever. I don't know if he got stung or not. Did he mention about getting stung?
Yeah, he did. He got stung a bunch. I didn't know also until this panel that he does voice work for a lot of like different cartoons and animated stuff and even video games. Like the whole, hey, he's playing Venom in the upcoming Spider-Man 2 game. I did not know that.
Oh, I could see that all day with that voice.
He said it and I was like, God, it makes all sense now. Yeah.
He could definitely be Venom.
And he did announce that he has signed on for the next Final Destination movie. I don't know how he was able to do that with the whole strike thing going on, but he did kind of drop the bomb on us there about that.
Maybe it happened just before the strike. So if it happened before the strike, naturally, he might be able to talk about it a little bit.
He did kind of tell us like the plot of the movie. And he's like, I hope I don't get in trouble for that. So yeah, Tony Todd panel that ended about 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon. And then I departed and went home because I had an hour drive home. And I don't know how much longer you hung around, but
yeah, I honestly hung out for maybe another hour after that. Not long. I kind of just did another scour of the main room where I just kind of walked around and took in the sights because I like people watching. And I met some cool exhibitors. There was this one guy who was doing like custom resin stuff, and he was selling these crazy ass magnets. And there was one for Mars Attacks, the head for one of the aliens. I was like, oh, that's so cool. He's like, that's $50. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to get that magnet.
It's not cool anymore.
No, it's cool-ish, but it's out of my price range at the moment.
Yeah.
So I walked around a little bit. I went and checked out the Ice Nine Kills museum, I guess it's called. Yeah, they just got props and stuff from all their music videos for like the horror stuff that they did, which I thought was cool. It was a cool little setup that they had going on. They had like a podium where like the boots from one of their videos was like spinning around and stuff. It was cool stuff.
Interesting.
But yeah, after that, same thing. I just went home and just took it easy. But Corey, what do you give the convention as a whole?
I'm going to go ahead and give this 5 out of 5 dead kids. I think even though it's only the second year of the festival, they got their shit together. I think all the guests they booked for the most part, I think only 2 dropped. It was obviously Tom Savini, and there was one other one. I can't remember what her name was. I think it was very well put together, organized well. They were super nice to us about the press passes and helping us get in there and get our names out. And I can't wait to go back next year.
Yeah, I'll give it a 5 out of 5 as well. I thought it was a great time. I had a lot of fun, no hassle, other than that one kid who was like, you have to go to the back of the line. But that was redeemed in like 5 seconds after the girls in front of me were like, he was here.
Yeah, and we were able to like meet celebrities, and like I even got ballsy and handed some of them our business cards that you had made.
Yeah,
so I gave one to Alex Vincent.
I'm using it as a coaster at the moment.
Yeah, right, he's got his fucking Coors Light on it or some shit
probably.
Some random guy walked up to us. We were able to give our cards out to several different people. I think I gave one to DJ Graham.
I would love to get him on the podcast.
Yeah, he's very active on social media, so maybe we can reach out to him. I follow him on Instagram now.
Oh, do you? Okay. I was trying to find him on Twitter, but I couldn't get him.
Yeah, he posts all the time on Instagram, so maybe that's something we can look into.
Yeah, maybe we'll hit up his DMs there.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we can make it happen. Maybe we can get some celebrities on this thing, and our movie podcast now turns into an interview podcast. I don't know. I like reviewing movies, though. But we wanted to do something different this time.
Well, I mean, like, if we get CJ Graham on here, maybe we can do his movie while he's on the podcast.
I like that idea. We just review their movie as they're with us. It would almost be like film commentary.
Yeah, you know, Mystery Science.
Yeah, like that, or you know how they do on Blu-rays. They have the director commentary, all that stuff. But I like the idea more of Mystery Science Theater style. Let's do that. So I had a great time. I will definitely go back next year if they have another next year, which I don't see it ending anytime soon. It's a fucking great way for Ice Nine Kills to sell a shit ton of tickets and merch. So I don't see them not doing it again. All the fucking people that we met were great. Some better than others, obviously, but overall, great time. I love going. Who knows? Maybe next year we'll be exhibitors.
Yeah, I would love that. And I think there's really no question that there's going to be one next year, because I was talking to their social or their PR person, and they were like, yeah, we can probably do it next year. We just have to wait until a few months before the show.
Which, there you go. It's confirmed, basically.
Yeah.
Unless something changes, which, who knows? I think when you have an event of that scale, it's not something that's thrown together last minute. They're probably already planning as we speak.
Yeah, I think they're already in the planning stages, and we'll probably get an announcement very soon on at least the dates and location of next year.
Yeah, same place, or maybe even bigger. Who knows? Maybe, like, you know, every year things just get bigger and bigger and more organized and all that. So see what happens. You know, who knows? Like I said, we become exhibitors. We have our own table. We don't charge people for fucking autographs or photos and shit. We just get high fives.
Speak for yourself.
I want that money.
Yeah.
We'll just sell merch. That's what we'll do. We'll sell merch.
Okay, fine. Well, yeah, I'm down for that.
Yeah, I think that'll be good. So, all right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure, and be sure to tell your friends. We're also a part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal and horror. So definitely check that out. There's a lot going on there. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. And if there's anything you want us to review, send us an email to 30ScreamsOrLess@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use that hashtag 30ScreamsOrLess and we'll talk that way. And of course, buy our merch, damn it, because we need to make money. And we need to pay for fucking hosting costs.
Guys, our hosting costs are exorbitant. Like, yeah, we need that money.
Okay, everyone, with that in mind, I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.